praise and the rear for His honor and glory. And we covet your prayers in that. That God will help us be the Christians He wants us to be and see our children grow up in a good Christian home and know that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. So we do covet your prayers. I served for 10 years at Fellowship Baptist Church up in Withfield, Virginia. And during that time, in 2006, God enabled me to make a missions trip to the state of Alaska. On that missions trip, I was thinking I was going to go build a house for a preacher. When I got back, I knew in my heart that that's where God wanted us to go. We began to pray about it. I prayed about it for a year. And we surrendered to go to the state of Alaska in October of 2007. We resigned our position from the church there in 2008. And we began full-time deputation the first part of August of 2008. And since that time, in just a little over 20 months, God's given us almost 90-some percent of our support. We are leaving for the state of Alaska June the 14th. Now, I understand and I appreciate your concern for missionaries, but if you'll do me a favor and circle that date of June the 14th on your calendar, if you don't remember my big bald head, if you'll do this favor for me, remember to pray for my wife. You imagine driving 9 days in a vehicle with five guys. So you pray for my wife and God give her the patience that she needs. We're looking forward to this trip. We're looking forward to what God has in store for us. We're going to begin working in the Glen Allen, Alaska area. It's a population of about 3,500 people sitting there in the Copper River Basin. And our desire is to work with Old Paths Independent Baptist Church. It was started by a blind missionary by the name of Brother Kent LeBove. Brother LeBove started the church 6 years ago. And him and his wife and family have prayed that God would send somebody to work with them and assist them getting this ministry up and going. Well, church, I'm here to tell you this evening, God's answered his prayers. In just a few short weeks, Lord willing, we'll be there assisting Brother LeBove in that work. And out of that church, we have a desire to see a church planted in Cordova, Alaska. Cordova is a population of 2,500 people, sits on a fishing village off the Prince William Sound. There's 2,500 people that do not have a good, sound, fundamental Bible-believing church like this one. So we covet your prayers that God will get us to the field of Alaska in His time, Lord willing, June the 14th, but also that God will get us there safely so we can begin working with Brother LeBove and then also see that church planted in Cordova, Alaska. This time I'll get this going.
Do you realize that even in this blessed nation, there are places where people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Alaska became a state in 1959, but just recently have Christians begun to see the real need of taking the Word of God to the last frontier. The population has shown a steady increase, and as of 2008, over 680,000 people call Alaska home. Tourism gives the population a big boost during the summer months. Many tourists come to see Alaska's great and marvelous beauty of land and water. Mount McKinley, with a peak of 20,320 feet, the tallest mountain in the United States, and the Wrangell-St. Elias mountain range are both some of Alaska's premier sightseeing stops. With its majestic mountains, Alaska offers tremendous rivers like the Susitna and the Copper. Also, many areas around Valdez and the Kenai Peninsula are often visited by the local fishermen. Not only do people travel to Alaska to see God's creation of land and water, but they also come to see the abundant wildlife. Moose, bear, caribou, and many others are sought to be seen in the national parks and the preservation areas. But with all of its majestic beauty and abundant wildlife, it is still the last frontier, where there are many souls who have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has called the Jason Severs family to take the Word of God to the last frontier. I was able to go to Alaska in the fall of 2006 on a construction missions project. While on this project, the Lord planted the seed, and over the next year, He began to show me it was His desire for us to surrender to the state of Alaska. We have the desire to fulfill the message of Luke chapter 1, verse 77 and verse 79, which states, to give knowledge of salvation and to give light to them that sit in darkness. Over the last 10 years, the Lord has been preparing us for this ministry. We have served our Lord faithfully in the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church in Withfield, Virginia. As assistant pastor, we worked with the youth, the bus ministry, and taught in the Christian school. This will be our sending church, and our pastor, Donald Drake, is excited for us and totally supportive of the Lord's leading in our lives.
Hello, I'm Pastor Don Drake, Fellowship Baptist Church in Withfield, Virginia, and it's been my privilege to pastor Brother Severs and his family for the past 10 years. It has been my joy to watch them grow and mature in the things of the Lord. Brother and Ms. Severs have served as full-time staff in our ministry for these 10 years and have been loyal and faithful. God has put Alaska in this family's heart, and I would like to ask you to consider them for financial support in your missions program. They are worthy and have proved themselves faithful in the ministry. Our church will support them monthly and help them all we can to get them to their field of service. There's no doubt that God will use this family in a great way on the mission field of Alaska. And as their pastor, I want to take this opportunity to thank you personally for anything that you may do for Brother Severs and his family.
In July of 2008, the Lord allowed Teresa and myself to take our survey trip to Alaska. This trip was a great blessing, allowing us to see many of the places of this massive state and to meet several of the wonderful people who call Alaska home. Through this trip, God gave us clear direction on where He would have us to begin our Alaskan ministry. We will begin in Glen Allen, which is approximately 200 miles northeast of Anchorage. It is the crossroads of the Glen Highway and the Richardson Highway. Glen Allen and the surrounding areas have approximately 3,000 people, with several Athabascan Indian villages in this region. The Copper River Basin covers an area the size of the state of Ohio, with only two independent Baptist churches. Glen Allen is not so remote that it does not have a grocery store or gas station, but because of the distance to the larger cities, the price has definitely increased. Coffee is $12.89, ice cream $7.29, and a gallon of gasoline close to $5. The increased cost is a disadvantage, but also the Alaskan winters can be brutal as well, with the temperatures minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit sustained and the sun only being visible for a few hours during the winter months. But where our God guides, He is faithful to provide. We will be working with the Kent LeBeau family and the Old Paths Independent Baptist Church. Brother LeBeau and his family were called to Glen Allen 5 years ago and planted this church. He states in a letter,
Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. We have prayed for 5 years that God would send us some help here. What an answer to prayer it is to have the Severs family coming to help us get this church established. He will be a vital part of this ministry. Being blind, I depend upon my wife or my kids to help me and drive me around. My wife, Christy, is just about wore out with all the homeschooling of 5 kids still in school and all the other things she has to do, much less all that I give her to do. Brother Jason will be a godsend. There are other villages to get the gospel into as well, and up till now we've not been able to make much of an effort to reach those folks. I believe God uses and greatly blesses team efforts. This is the way the Apostle Paul worked, and I believe that that's what we are missing in our mission attempt around the world, where so many missionaries are failing and getting discouraged and coming back home. We absolutely need help here. I'd encourage you to take the Seavers on for support. God is going to use this family.
During our trip to Glen Allen, we were able to be involved in the work of the church. The teens had their first youth activity. Also, we participated in the visitation and church services. I was able to preach twice, and after the Sunday morning service, Wade, a 17-year-old young man, came forward and trusted Christ as his Savior. The ministry of Brother LeBeau and this church are reaching out to Glen Allen and the surrounding communities, along with the five Indian villages that are in the area. The church is having an impact on this ripe harvest field, with souls being saved. Ashley, a teenage girl, was saved this past winter. Jeff was saved as a result of the visitation program. And several young children have also trusted Christ through the bus ministry and the Vacation Bible School. The vision of this church and Brother LeBeau is to reach the Copper River Basin with the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God's help, we desire to be a part of this ministry. We are going through Points North Baptist Mission, whose goal is to reach the Arctic North with the gospel. Would you please pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to do in helping take the Word of God to the last frontier? May God bless America.
If you'll take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter number 3. Pastor Jenkins, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening. We've enjoyed the time of fellowship again with you, and it's our joy to be here this evening. And what exciting days lie ahead for this church, celebrating 231 years. And to see the church house this full this evening is an exciting thing for my heart and my life. And we wish that God will just continue to work and continue to do the work. And Brother Lassley, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your stands throughout the years. And you've always been an encouragement to me, even when I was in Withel as assistant pastor there. We'd come to meetings here, youth meetings and whatnot, and I just want to thank you for your standing. The way you've conducted yourself in the ministry here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to know that we're saved. Amen? When I was in Bible college at Crown, there was a class that I took that I had a lot of difficulty with. We had to take history of civilization with Professor Dr. Dalton. Remember him? We struggled through that class. But if I learned anything, one thing from Brother Dalton in that class, I learned that history always repeats itself. And Brother Dalton, he let me believe that because I got to repeat that class several times. And he told me one time, he said, I think you can help me teach this class if I'm ever sick. Me and him became good friends. I saw him the other day. And he asked me if I want to teach his Bible class at Ambassador. But it's good to be here this evening. When he made the statement, he said, history always repeats itself. You look at where we are in our world today, you look where we are in our country today. And we have to realize that America is not the spiritual nation that she once was. America is not the great nation that she once was. Now, I understand exactly where I'm at. I understand exactly what I'm saying. I believe America is the greatest nation that God's ever established outside the nation of Israel. And I'll fight you for our country. I believe she's worth fighting for. I believe that the men and women who are fighting for our country deserve our utmost respect. And I believe that we need to stand behind them and support them. And not only do our men and women who are fighting for our country need our respect, but the preachers and the men of God and the dear saints of God, the ladies who are taking a stand for the cause of Christ in our country, they ought to be honored and they ought to be respected just as much. When you look at history, you look and we realize that God's always had his hand upon one nation. And as that nation has prospered, as that nation has begun to promote themselves above God, it appears that God took his hand off of that nation and put his hand upon another nation. Brother Jody, I remember when we was in History of Civilization, Brother Dalton was talking about how God blessed Babylon, how Babylon prospered and how Babylon was great and mighty. And then all of a sudden, through all the greatness and all the mightiness, they begin to promote themselves above God. And God says, all right, I've had enough. And he took his hand off that nation. And it seems through history that God put his hand upon another nation. And down through history, we can see where God blessed one nation. And as they promoted themselves and exalted themselves above God, he took his hand off that nation and put his hand upon another. Until we get to where we are today in America, I believe God has had his hand upon our country. I believe God has prospered our country. I believe God has just put both his hands and just put a watch care over his country, over this country. And I thank God for that. But I see us as today as a country who's getting to where to the place where we're promoting ourselves above God. We're promoting our own individuals as thinking we are like God. And I'm fearful that the hand of God will come off of this country. You say, why are you so fearful? Because I fear what my children will have to face. I fear what their generation will have to face. Church, can I tell you this evening, I want to be a part of the generation that moves back toward the things of God. I want to be a part. I believe the exciting, most exciting days of our country still lie before us. I believe God can still send a revival to our country. And that's what I pray. I ask God to revive my heart, to revive my country one more time. You say, why just one more time? Because I believe if he does it one more time, he'll do it one more time after that. And I want to be a part of the movement back toward the things of God. You say, Brother Jason, we haven't moved here at this church. I'm glad and I'm excited to tell you that it appears that you have not moved from the things of God. But there are people outside this church. There are people in our government. There are people who walk in the streets who are moving toward the things of this world. And I want to be a part of where the revival of God is moving back toward the work of God in this great land. How will we see that? How will we accomplish that? Well, number one, can I tell you, we will not accomplish it within ourselves. It will be God who accomplishes a great revival in our country. We try to get to the place where we say, well, we're going to pray and we're going to do this. It's going to be God who sends the revival. And I pray that I'm a part of it. I'd like to see the revivals that Billy Sunday preached during. I'd like to see a great awakening sweep through our country. And I'd love to see just one more great revival, brother. I believe it's possible. And I pray that it'll happen. We look in Genesis chapter number 3. I want to look at two verses with you this evening. Won't be long. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Word of God says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." Verse number 8, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. This evening, church, I want to bring a message entitled this, An Open Door to a Closing Opportunity. An open door to a closing opportunity. There's not a one of us in here that are promised another breath. There's not a one of us in here promised another day, another week. There are people in here who say, there may be somebody here who say, I'll serve God later on. I'll serve God when I get out of high school. I'll serve God when I get out of college. I'll serve God after my children are grown. I'll serve God then. I'll serve God when I'm too old. Church, can I tell you there's no greater time to serve God than right now. There's no greater time to put your energy into nothing more than just serving God and seeing how God will bless you and God will prosper you. The Bible says, I have set before thee an open door. We're not promised another breath. In December, on December the 7th, we know from history that's a day that will live in infamy. But on December the 7th of this past year, it was a day that was struck my wife's family and struck the heart chords of her family. Her father called our house and said, Jason, I want you to go to the hospital. He said, Tony is in the hospital. Tony is my brother-in-law, my wife's brother. Tony had gone to work that morning there in Whistler. As Tony would walk into work, he began to have some chest pains and he began to call and say, hey, I need some help. And the employers of the store called 911. They called my father-in-law and told my father-in-law, said, Tony, he's fine. He'll be okay. They're going to take him to the hospital. They're going to check him out. He should be okay. When I got to the hospital to check on Tony, 42 years of age, I was sitting in the waiting room of that hospital, and my brother-in-law, I could hear him groaning and hollering out in pain. And when time I got back there, he was drawing his last breath. My brother-in-law, Tony, my wife's brother, died of a massive heart attack at 42 years of age. The door closed on his life. We look tonight and we think we're so young, we're so healthy, we're so prosperous. Church, can I just be honest with you? We do not know what the next day holds for us. And the time that I have, I want to serve God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. You say, Brother Jason, I'm already serving God. I believe we get to the place today where we get complacent in our service. I know when I was youth pastor, there would be times where I would sit down and I would sit my young people in Sunday school and I would say, I want you to put on this. Don't put your name on this card. I want you to put yes or no. Are you satisfied where you are in your spiritual life? There was times the young people at our church would hand me cards and they would hand me a card and they'd say yes and yes and maybe one or two would send in a card and no. I begin to take that and I begin to consider that. If we ever get to the place where we're satisfied in our Christian life, I believe we've got to the place of complacency. God wants us to be ever learning. God wants us to be ever growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I told these young people, I said, you need to not be satisfied where you are. You need to want to grow more. I believe that's what we all desire here this evening is to grow more in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because the door to our lives could soon be shutting. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I see the words, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we read these words in verse number 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I think about this, and I think about one of my first trips to Alaska, my second trip to Alaska, actually. The Bible says here in verse number 9 in 1 Corinthians, for a great door and effectual, or an opportunity, is open unto me. I had an opportunity to meet Daryl, an Athabaskan Indian. Daryl stood about 6'4", same height I am. Daryl was an Athabaskan Indian who was, when the time I met him, he was drunk. He was He was an alcoholic, still is as far as I know. When Daryl saw me, he thought I was a state trooper. Daryl is a practicer. He believes in the Russian Orthodox religion, the primary religion of Alaska. 39% of the people of Alaska claim religion. I'm thankful this evening that I don't have religion. I've got a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Daryl, an Athabascan Indian, thinking I was a state trooper, the first thing he does is he bolts out the back door. Well, he begins to ponder, and he comes back in. And Daryl walks up to me and says, "You're a state trooper." And I said, no, sir, I'm not a state trooper. I had a great door opened unto me. I had an opportunity. Daryl's like, "You're a state trooper." I said, "No, sir, I'm not a state trooper. I'm a Baptist preacher." The next words out of Daryl's mouth were, quote, Isaiah 3:1-2. I had no idea, brother, if he wanted me to quote Isaiah 31:2, Isaiah 3:1-2. I didn't know what he wanted me to quote. I said, "Daryl, you give me your Bible, I'll be happy to read it for you." He said, "No." He said, "If you're a Baptist preacher, you can quote it." I couldn't quote it. Daryl got adamant that I was a state trooper. And Daryl was an alcoholic. And Daryl was a drug addict as far as I know. And Daryl got face to face and was ready to fight. And he wanted to fight. You say, "What did you do?" I began to think. My preacher always said, God only said turn one cheek. And I got to think about that, said that wouldn't be right now. And Daryl's standing eyeball to eyeball with me. And I told Daryl the only thing came to my mind. I was looking around, Brother LeBeau. Now, he's blind, can't see, and his son was 10 years of age at the time. He wasn't going to be much help of it to me either. I'm looking around for a place to run or somebody to fight with. But Daryl's standing there eyeball to eyeball saying, "So let's fight." The only thing I could say to Daryl was, "Daryl, you go outside. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, you start without me." So what'd you say that for? Because I was wanting to get out of there. Daryl proved to me something right there. There are many adversaries. I had a great occasion. Daryl's come to the church, and they've been able to give Daryl the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's rejected it. But Daryl has had a chance, and Daryl gets a chance nearly on a weekly basis. Somebody goes by Daryl's house and tells Daryl that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Not what the Russian Orthodox Church teaches. I begin to look at this verse of Scripture and I begin to realize that there's one other passage of Scripture where God says, "I've set before thee an open door." If you'll turn with me quickly to Genesis chapter number 6. God set before Noah an open door. And can I tell you, church, that God shut that door? You say, "What door did God shut?" God shut the door of the ark and put Noah inside that ark. We have an open door setting before us this evening. Just as that door, the Bible says, is standing wide open, I believe that one day that door will be closed. We know the story of Noah. We hear the story of Noah. And through all that Noah had to go through, I believe that we can find three characteristics in Noah's life that if we take and apply them to our lives, will help us be a part of the movement back toward the things of God. The first thing I see is Noah was a man of obedience. Noah was a man of obedience. Now, we read Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. The Word of God says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for repenteth me that I have made them." Verse number 8, when I read this verse of Scripture, my heart jumps up and down and does flip-flops and it gets excited. You say, why? Because I look and Noah was living in a wicked day. Noah was living in an ungodly day. But Noah still had enough God about him that Noah still stood for the things of God. Because in verse number 8 of chapter 6, the Word of God says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But Jason found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, why? Because I want to be found obedient to God. I want to be found right where God wants me to be. Church, you're getting ready to celebrate the birthday of your church. You're getting ready to have other big events in your church, and things are growing, things are prospering, and things seem to be going well. Can I tell you why that's been? It's because people, God's people, have been obedient to God. They followed God. What we need today in our lives is we need a generation. Says, God, whatever you ask of me, whatever you want me to do, I'll be obedient to your call, whatever it is. I believe there is a place for everybody to serve. I believe God has got a place of service for every one of his children. The problem that we have this evening is that we're not obedient. When I was in high school, we did the Awana program. I grew up through the Awana program in our church. And one of the things to get a badge, I'll never forget it, we had to get a badge or whatever it was there in Awana's. And one of the things I had to do is I had to find a place to serve in our church for a month. I went to my preacher and I said, Pastor Godfrey, I need to serve. I want to serve. I got to do something to get a badge. He said, here's a key. He said, after every service, I want you to lock the doors. I said, that's not going to be hard. He said, but not only do I want you to lock the doors, but I want you to put out the toilet paper. Make sure the toilet paper dispensers are full. I went from being up here, I have a key to the church, to being down here. I have to stock the toilet paper holder. I did it for a month, and I'll never forget it. There were times my friends would go off, and they would go out to McDonald's or wherever it was to hang out, and I said, I can't go. I got to stock the toilet paper holders. I was doing it for a badge. I was doing it for something that I could get, but you know what? I began to think about that. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to serve. Somebody had to stock the toilet paper. And somebody has to stock the toilet paper holders here at this church. Somebody must be found faithful. What we need today, in this day and age that we're living in, is we need a generation of people who will be found obedient, who will be found faithful to the cause of Christ. I need to hurry. The Word of God says here in verse number 22 of chapter 6, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. God told him to build an ark. For us rednecks, he told him to build a big boat. Thus did Noah all that God commanded him. Not only did we see that there, God, but also verse number 5 of chapter number 7. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Church, can I tell you this evening, we see the characteristic of Noah. He was a man of obedience. He was a man of faithfulness. Noah could have quit. It took him 120 years to build the ark. He didn't have a Lowe's and a Home Depot down the road to run to. He didn't have DeWalt power tools. He didn't have a skill table saw. 120 years he labored for God. You say, Brother Jason, I've been laboring on a bus route. I've been laboring in my Sunday school class. Can I tell you this? Keep on laboring. Keep on laboring in that ministry, because you never know what the next child will come in the door who you may have an opportunity to tell about Jesus Christ. In the DVD that you saw there, you saw a young man by the name of Wade put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. On that Sunday morning that I had opportunity to preach, there was Wade, a 17-year-old young boy, but also sitting beside him was Gavin, a 17-year-old young man. Gavin raised his hand. He did not come forward that morning, but 2 weeks later, Brother LeBeau had the opportunity to tell Gavin, to show Gavin that Jesus Christ loved him. Gavin has surrendered to go to the mission field. Gavin wants to be a preacher of God's word. Can I tell you? Why? Because somebody was obedient. Somebody went to Glen Allen, Alaska and started Old Paths Independent Baptist Church. Not only did they go there, but they've stayed faithful. What we need today is we need people to be obedient. We need people to be faithful. When I think about the ministry God has for us, we're going to work with Brother LeBeau and his family and work in that church. We're going to work with them for a year. They're coming home on furlough. I want to be faithful to the ministry that God's established there. There are people in that area, there are people in that part of the country, the United States of America, who've never heard a clear presentation of the Word of God. But here's the most heartbreaking thing. There's people in this area who've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Jody, I don't know how many churches are in the Kingsport, Bristol, Tri-Cities area. But there are people that if we were to knock on some doors up and down the road, they'd probably say, nobody's ever showed me. I do not know that Jesus Christ is my only way to heaven. We have a great work to do right here in this community. Well, there's a great work to do in Withfield, Virginia. There's a great work to do in America. Not only do I see Noah was obedient, not only do I see Noah was faithful, but I'll be done. I believe Noah was fervent. That term fervent means zealous. We have some sports fans here, I'm sure. We have some people here that follow sport teams. You go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, you watch a football game there in Green Bay, Wisconsin in December, you'll see a bunch of fervent sports fans. Not far down the road is Knoxville, Tennessee, has the second largest football stadium in America. You'll see some fervent fans down there in Knoxville, Tennessee. You say, how do you know? I've been there. I've seen them myself. You go over here just a few miles down the road to Bristol Motor Speedway. Come August, you'll see some fervent fans for a race car team. What we need in our lives as Christians is we need to get excited about the work of God. I look out and I see a church that's packed, and that's encouraging and it's exciting. But I believe what God is doing in the house of God this evening is more exciting than what will take place in Knoxville, Tennessee come football season. Then I believe it's more important than what will take place in Bristol come NASCAR race time. I believe the work of God is the most exciting ministry to be a part of. And I'm thankful God allows me to be just a small, minute part of it. You say, how do you know Noah was fervent?
Well, he labored 120 years. He builds an ark. No power tools. Had to build it by hand. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter, I believe it is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. While he's laboring to build an ark, while he's laboring to do the work that God's called him to do, he's preaching that judgment of God is coming. While you're laboring to teach your Sunday school class, while you labor to clean the carpet, while you labor to work in the ministry here at the church, can I tell you that God wants us to let folks know that Jesus Christ is still the only way to heaven. And without Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they will not enter into the gates of heaven. There may be somebody here this evening, says Brother Jason, says, I've come to church, but this is my first time, but I really don't know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I've never repented of my sins, and by faith, put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ is my only way to heaven. Can I tell you there's no greater night to do that and get that settled than this evening? You may be a member here, you say, Brother Jason, I realize my door of opportunity is closing. I want to serve now. I want to be obedient now. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found fervent. Church, that's what God wants for us this evening, is to be a people of obedience to His will, to be faithful in the duty that God's called us, and then be excited about the work of God. I'm excited what God's going to do here on May the 16th, is that right? I'm excited what God will do here when everyone doubles themselves. It's an exciting thing, brother. It's an exciting thing to know that we're still serving a risen Savior. Church, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you this question. If you're here this evening and you say, Brother Jason, I've never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I do not know that if I were to die this evening that I would go to heaven. And you're concerned enough that you would say, Brother Jason, I want you to pray for me. If you'll uplift your hand and let me know by uplifted hand that you're not sure if heaven is your eternal home, I'll be sure to pray for you. Is there anybody here by uplifted hand? So, Brother Jason, I'm not sure heaven's my home, my eternal home. Would you please pray for me? All right, you may be here as a Christian this evening. You say, Brother Jason, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a member of this church. Brother Jason, I just haven't been obedient. I just haven't been obedient like I think God wants me to be. If that's you, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Is there anybody here who says, Brother Jason, I'm a member of this church. I'm obedient. I'm just not excited about the work of God that I think God wants me to be. You may be here and you say, Brother Jason, I've kind of lost a little bit of my zeal. Maybe you need to ask God to restore the joy of your salvation back to you. Maybe you've not been as faithful to the house of God. Maybe you haven't been as faithful to the reading of God's word, to praying like you ought to. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you need to come to this altar and you need to do business with God, this altar is open. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us this evening to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you'll take the word of God. Lord, these thoughts that you've given me, Lord, I pray that you'll take these and you'll embed these in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, help us all to be obedient to you. Help us all to be faithful to you. Help us all to be more excited about the work of God. Lord, we sure give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand as our brother leads us in a hymn?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
You can look this way just a moment. It's an outstanding message. And I'll tell you one thing I kept thinking about. You know, it might not can be much, but we can be what he preached on tonight. You can be obedient. You can be faithful. And you can be excited about the things of God. Kind of ties into what we've been trying to tell you around here a little bit, doesn't it? We give the Lord all the glory. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do with this dear family. And, of course, seeing him just brings back memories. Some good, some bad. I'm just kidding with you. Amen. It's exciting to see how the Lord's working in people's hearts. What a great Wednesday night crowd. God bless you. This is outstanding. You all have known before you came that I wasn't preaching for 3 weeks, didn't you? And that's why you've been coming, isn't it? Be careful. Yes. What a great thing. God's working, isn't he? God is moving. Let's pray and ask the Lord to stay with us and do whatever he wants to do. Brother Jason, if you don't mind, sir, to take your dear wife and your children out to the back so our folks can get to greet you and meet you there, that'd be a great thing. Go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers at this time to go to your bus meeting. I encourage everybody, try to bring a mother with you. Maybe not only just your mother, but bring another mother with you on Sunday. And then let's be praying for the big day on the 16th and asking the Lord to meet with us in a great way. If you are here for the first time, I remind you to take that card out to the back, drop it off at the Welcome Center. We've got a gift for you just for saying thank you. Thank you for being in our service tonight. Brother Charlie Moore, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.